16 years ago, we were praying, you know, and trusting for a public venue. We were all just seven of us, five adults and two children. So, and supernaturally, when I say supernaturally, because we prayed, and then I had a dream. And in that dream, it was like God showed me. I saw a venue, I saw a woman, and I was discussing with the woman about her building, and that telling her in that dream that God wants to use her building. And that was exactly what happened the following week. I was just driving down Smithtown Road, and I just had a quiet voice, go and talk to this woman. I spoke to a woman that I've always known. I went to ask for a husband. And as I was walking out, I just had that gentle voice, go and share your dream with this woman, that dream you had. And then I started talking to the woman, you know, I had a funny dream. And in this dream, I saw myself talking to a woman, and I was telling her God wants to use her building to meet with his children. And the woman said, oh, you see, I'm just sharing a compressed version of this story. Some people are hearing it for the first time. Some people know the story. But you know, it's not like you've heard it before. Just listen. So, and this woman looked at me. I saw her eyes growing big. She said, oh no, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I said, what? She said, come with me, come with me. She takes a key from behind her and takes me out of her shop, takes me to a building and said, see, nobody on this earth knows that I've just bought this building. This is the key. I was going to open a business there. And God spoke to me that, no, don't open this business. I want you to give this building to a church. I was shocked. She was shocked. But then I was wondering, my goodness, I didn't come here looking for a building. She said, here's the key. Take the key. I give you this building. Bring your church in. Start your church in. It's a three-story building. Use the top for anything you want. You know, I was shocked. Sincerely, I was shocked. This was 16 years ago this week, 16 years ago. And I quickly went, took the key, was locked up the building. She said, no, that's the key. Just use it. I said, wait a minute. He said, no, Pastor. God spoke to me. Here's the key. Use the building. It's all yours. I was shocked. Anyway, I gathered the entire church. The entire church there was just seven of us. So I called the other six people, my two sons, my wife, and the three adults. Matthew Milliken, if you're watching, God bless you all the way from Ireland. You know, and we gathered there on a Thursday like this 16 years ago that, guys, God has given us a building. So we quickly tidied up the place and we said, that's it, this coming Sunday. And that Sunday 16 years ago was the 23rd of January, 2005. We said we are holding the first public meeting of Love Assembly in Liverpool. And the rest is history, but this is where I'm going. That's why I said you've not heard this story before. It's not like this, not in this manner. Now, God opened that door. It was a supernatural door. It was an unexpected way that God opened that door. We were rejoicing. We were glad. We inaugurated the church 23rd January 2005. When you calculate that 16 years ago, this coming Saturday, we're going to have a good time to thank God at 12 noon. Join us at 12 noon. We're going to thank God together. Anyway, the story goes, and then the church starts meeting publicly. We start reaching out to the community. We start having people, the Lord adding to the church. So much that we started holding two services. We had the morning service, we had the evening service. I will minister in the morning, and Matthew, who God raised up, who was our assistant then, will, you know, do the evening services. We were doing all the services together. And guess what? Sometime, I think around May, that's about 5 months later, the unexpected happened. We were kicked out of the building. Not as in, get out of this building, we're not giving you again. No. You know when technically you are told you're not longer welcome here? Technically, another, ministry, I don't want to go into the story because to God be all the glory, these things happen. It's just a bit of lack of understanding on the part of we at times as Christians, we don't realize the church of God is one. And when I say one, we go along denominational lines, we go along doctrinal lines, and we start creating unnecessary division. You know, there's only one sure word of prophecy. It's the word of God, the one that is written. Let's stick to that. No matter what God tells you, go back to the word of God. Now, this is where I'm going. The unexpected happened. And the door that was opened to us miraculously was shut right in our face. Just shut barely 5 months after. 5 months after. It was painful. And you know what? We were going to fight. No, God, you gave us this building. God, I remember the dream I had. God, I remembered how it happened. Lord, you gave it to us and all that. I was, I ran. Pastor said, no, you've got to fight. That's the devil. You've got to fight. You've got to contend for this building. And you know what? Thank God for the Holy Spirit, the gentle voice of the Holy Spirit. I went, when I calmed down in the middle of the night again, I heard that gentle voice say, I am the one shutting this door. Wait a minute. You opened this door, Lord, 5 months ago. Why would you shut it? Look at the testimony. Look at the miracle that happened. Look at how we're rejoicing. Look at how your church is growing here. Two services. He said, I'm the one shutting the door. Move. That was an unexpected, I won't call that a miracle, because it really pained my heart. It pained the people we were leading. What are we going to tell the people? God said, leave now. And God spoke on a Saturday, which meant the Sunday, we were not meant to worship there. You said, does God speak that way? I thought when God opens a door, it's an open door. Yes, Revelation chapter 3. God was speaking to a church in Philadelphia. Funnily enough, another name for Philadelphia is love. And we're love assembly because it's from the word filio. It's another one of the kinds of love. God showed me from that scripture. He says he was speaking to the church, the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Do you know what he said? He said to him, let me read from, I'm reading Revelation chapter 3 from verse 7. He says to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, you right. This thing says the one who is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man can shut, and shuts and no man can open. He says, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have had a little strength. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. I read that again. He says, I'm the one. I've set before you an open door that no man can shut. And I said, but this door is being shut by a man. A man literally is shutting this door. And God said, that's it. Read the previous verse, verse 7. He says, I have the key of David. I am the one who opens and no man can shut. And I shut and no man can open. He said, I open doors and I also shut doors. And if God told me, and I've learned this, and somebody needs to hear this, a door that God opens and a man comes to shut, please don't fight on that door. Let me repeat. a door that God opened for you, and a mortal comes to shut that door, don't contend for that. Do not, because a door God opens, no man can shut it. No man has the power, no devil, no principality, no power. Excuse me, can we stay with the word of God? Can we just stay with the scriptures? Just stay with the scriptures. I tell you something, if you just stay with the scriptures, you will have peace of mind. So he says, when I open a door and a man comes to shut it, you move. I said, Lord, give me another example. And it took me to the book of Genesis. We may not go there, but Isaac. Isaac will dig a well. The Bible says the Philistines, the enemies, will come. They will block that well. He will move. He will dig another well. The Philistines will come. They will block that well. He will move. Then he will dig another. And then he dug one. The Bible says no one could contend with that. He called that place Rehoboth. Rooms. Let me tell you, God has opened rooms for you. You are fighting over a door. God is opening a door where there are many rooms. Many rooms. I was told, instructed to share this story, and whoever this pertains to, you know yourself. So that is that story. All right, let's focus on Noah. I will share briefly because of our time. Next week, I will go in depth. What can we learn from Noah? Imagine when he started building that ark, and it took roughly, according to Bible history, chronologically, between 45 years and 100 years to complete building that ark. And people will come and ask him, imagine, what are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. Why are you building an ark? God told me to build an ark. They will have ridiculed him, laughed him to scorn. Why did God tell you to build an ark? God said it's going to rain. The flood is coming. Flood, rain. Do you know prior to this time, no one was expecting any rain. The rain was an unexpected phenomenon in those days. No, there was dew. When you look at Genesis, when God was making man, he caused the dew to fall on the earth so that the soil would be moist and it formed man. But not a rain. Not a rain so much that it will even flood the entire earth. So it was an unexpected spectacle, an unexpected thing. It was a new thing God was going to do to cause the rain to fall. That's why we're titling this, Expect the Unexpected Rain Lessons from Noah. Now you get the gist. So let's look at some things to learn, and then we answer the questions. Keep the questions coming. Thank you very much. Okay. So one of the things, as Noah was building the ark, what can we learn from Noah? I'll just read through my notes as I receive the inspiration. You must be ready to be the only one. You must be ready to be the only one. And being the only one can make you the lonely one. Being the only one can make you the lonely one, but you are not alone. Know this, God is with you when you choose to stand out to do what is right. I repeat, get ready to be the only one, and you may become the lonely one, but listen, but you are not alone. God is always with you when you choose to stand out to do what is right. You choose to do what is right. You do what is right. It can make you unpopular, make you lonely, make you alone. But know this, God is with you. Whenever you choose to stand out because you want to do what is right, not what is good, not what is popular. All right? Be ready to be mocked. Be ready to be ridiculed. Be ready to be laughed at for doing the will of God. You see, the Love Assembly, by the grace of God, we see today, 16 years, actually began 18 years ago with a very ridiculous instruction to stay in our living room, myself, my wife, a baby that was just born, because when the baby was born 18 years ago, it's going to be 18 years in June, was when the final instruction, stay in the house and start obeying what I tell you. Start fellowshipping with your wife and your two sons. Does that not sound similar to the story of Noah? Just thinking aloud now, God said, build yourself an ark and take only your family with you into the ark. That's the instruction God gave. It was ridiculous because there were churches around. There was a friend who was even who had a church who wanted to even pass his church over to us to be pastoring and all that. But God said, no, stay in your house. That made us lonely. That made us ridiculed. I will never forget the ridicule. I will never forget some of the things, the mockery we endured. 2 good years before we finally came out, this time 16 years ago. So for 2 years, it was my wife and the 2 boys, 2 babies. We were just meeting and waiting on God's instruction. And every Sunday, every Wednesday, in those days it was Wednesday if I remember, we will hold services just in our living room. So be ready to be mocked, ridiculed, laughed at for doing the will of God. You learn that from Noah, right? You may be doing what is unpopular with men, but such will make you popular with God. You may be doing that what is unpopular with men, but that will make you popular with God. So don't worry. You may not get many likes on Facebook. You may not get many retweets on Twitter. You may not get many share on social media. Excuse me. You know, it's like the Holy Spirit was reminding me. Don't forget. Don't go on social media because you want to promote self. Go on social media because you want to promote me. Me. Whatever means, whatever you do, just make sure ultimately the glory goes back to me. If it's, you're going on social media to make people laugh, let the glory go back to me. If you're going on social media to pass across your skills, your things you can do that will make changes to people's life, that will showcase the good works, your skills, your expertise, your dexterity, make sure that all the glory always goes back to me. So let's note that. Be ready to endure hardness. Be ready to suffer long. But know this, these are trials of your faith and it's only working all together for your good. Lesson from Noah. Noah endured that hardness. Noah suffered long all the ridicule. Noah was just going through a trial of his faith. How does faith come again? Remember, it comes by hearing what God tells you. So he heard God tell him, build the ark. And while he was acting on what he heard, exercising his faith, building that ark, he was ridiculed, he was mocked, he was shamed. You can imagine if it was nowadays, Noah will be trending on all social media for the wrong reasons. Crazy, loopy, weirdo, wacko Noah. Noah wacko. Peeled in an ark saying rain is coming. Okay? Be steadfast, be focused on God and what God has called you out to do. Don't be distracted by the opinions of people. Don't be distracted by the opinions of people. Always remember they were not there when God spoke to you. Don't let people's opinion distract you. Listen, faith is personal. I'm learning this so strongly because you are the one God spoke to. You are the one God spoke to. Okay, let's go. So finally, we will build on this from next week because I want to take the questions. Your family are those, listen now, we will focus on family next week. Lessons from Noah, family, and then we'll take more questions, okay? Your family, write this down, are those who trust you enough to follow you as you follow God. Listen, your family are those who trust you enough to follow you as you follow God. Your family are those who trust you enough to follow you as you follow God. They listen to you. They hear your voice. And they want to always hear what God is saying to you. That is family. Let me end with this. This is very interesting. Not all those who are familiar to you are family to you. I will end with that quote. All right? If you put that quote out there, give the glory to Jesus, okay? You can copyright me, but give the glory to God, okay? Your family, sorry, not all those who are familiar to you are family to you, right? Not all those who are familiar to you are family to you. Who are your family again? They're those who trust you enough. They follow you as you follow God. They support you, not just with words, they support you by their action. You know that they're with you. They may not get the full picture, but they trust you enough that you are following God. Okay, let's take the questions. Thank you. All right, on Slido, what is the guarantee that what I expect is what I will get? Let me answer that question quickly. What's the theme for this month? Expect the unexpected. So let me tell you something. With God, all right, with God, this is the mistake we make. At times, we don't separate our own desires from God's desires for us. Let me repeat. Our own desires for ourselves, we don't separate it from God's desires for us. You and I can have desires for ourselves, but it's not necessarily what God desires for us. So in that context, there is no guarantee that you will always expect to get what you want. What is the guarantee that what I expect is what I will get? No, there's no guarantee. The guarantee you will have is if it's God's expectation for you. And how do I know, and how do you know if it's God's expectation? I'll just leave us with that scripture in Psalm 37. Psalm 37 tells us that we should desire, trust. Let me read it. I don't want to just quote, okay? I'm learning now, not just to quote. Let us read, because when we read, it helps us. Psalm 37, verse 3, trust in the Lord, do good. Okay, let me read a more simpler version that makes the English simple enough for that young child to also understand. Okay, the New King James Version says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Now, what's the desire of your heart that God will grant? The desire of your heart, of my heart, that God will grant is the desire that God himself put in our hearts. How does God put his own desires in our hearts? When we delight in him, when we take pleasure, when we seek to know the heart, the mind, the will of God, then God's desires becomes our desires, and then those desires of our hearts is what God will grant. Understand that context of God guaranteeing our desires. So that is only the time you can expect a guarantee that what you expect, you will get what you expect, because it's God that put it there. And God is not a man that he should lie. Another question. Okay, let me quickly read the question. I've made some big mistakes in my life. I'm still suffering the consequences. What can I do? Listen, we all make mistakes. There is no perfect human being. Even the perfect tests, if there's any word like that, of men, is still not the best of men before God. We are all work in progress. We are all growing unto perfection. The Bible says the paths, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. But it says the paths of also the righteous, they are like the light, the daylight that shines more and more to the perfect day. So it's from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from strength, you keep growing. So think about it. You're not perfect, so you're bound to make mistakes. And of course, our mistakes, they have consequences, just like you said. You said big mistakes. Listen, no matter how big your mistakes are, no matter how red your sins are, the Bible tells us through the book of Isaiah. No, if it's red as crimson, red sins, you've done terrible, mighty, awesome, despicable things. He says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as red as scarlet, God can still make it work together for your good. Make it white as snow. So stop living in the past. That's the first thing I would say. Stop living in the past. The mistake has been made. The consequences are here. Ask God to give you the grace and ask God to turn this around for your good, because mistakes I've made in life, I'm learning a great deal from them. And, you know, not that I'm thanking God that I made those mistakes, but I'm thanking God that in spite of the mistakes, it's working together for my good. So have no regret. Stop dwelling on the past, all right? So let me try and read again another question. Right? Why does it seem like it's when I expect something good that it becomes bad? It makes me not want to hope for the best again. Good question. We said about expectation before. Why is it that when you expect something good? Listen, that something good you're expecting, is it something God promised? Is it something God put as a desire in your heart as a result of you desiring the things of God, delighting in God? Delighting in God means just everything God loves, you love. Everything God hates, you hate. You know, you come, for example, when it's time to study the Word of God together, you delight in it. You just want to hear what God is saying, irrespective of how you feel. You know, we're giving thanks to God now for 21 days. And it's a command. When you look at it, God says in everything, give thanks. The Bible says it's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord. So you don't give thanks because of the way you feel. You give thanks, one, because God commanded it. God demands it. God put that word, that desire. I mean, it's his word. Let it become your desire that no matter what you face, no matter what's going on around you, you will thank God. Do you know why? Because you are still breathing. The command is, let everything that has breath, let them praise the Lord. So you just put away your feelings. We are not saying don't acknowledge that. I mean, don't recognize you're feeling this way. No, irrespective that you are feeling this way, you choose to obey. So let your expectation be what God actually put in you to expect. What God will do, people, is what God promised. The Bible tells us in the book of Numbers, God is not a man that he should lie, he's not the son of man that he should repent. As he said it, shall he not do it? As he promised, shall he not bring it to pass? Emphasis, God will do what he said. God will bring to pass what he promised. Listen, it's not what you and I say that God will do. Let's not mix it. Let's not make that mistake, because at times we say, yeah, I've said it, so it must happen. Listen, the fact that you said it does not mean it will come to pass. If you say what God said, that's what God will do. If you say what God promised, that's what God will bring to pass. So check what you're expecting. Check those desires. Are they of God? Let me tell us a little story here. It may sound like a joke, but very strong. There's a sister, and you know, there's this brother of faith, and you know, he's always confessing, you know, confess it, claim it, and you make it, you take it. And he just was a man of faith, and was always teaching on faith in those days. I know this brother from way back. And you know, he decided now he wants to settle down and get engaged and get married. So he says, yeah, the Bible says, what things soever I desire when I pray, I should believe I have them, and I should say it, and I will have them. And then so he decides that, okay, I like that sister there. The sister too is a friend. We're all in the fellowship. And he says, yeah, I've believed in my heart. I've confessed it. I've said it, and I've claimed this sister in the name of Jesus. And he even used another scripture. If two agree, he gets another brother, agree with me as touching this sister. I agree that she's mine. We claim her. We say it. We confess it. So he goes to this sister by faith, all right, by his own faith, and tells the sister, you are my wife. I claim you. The sister said, I'm not sure I want to be your, I want you to be my husband. Said, no. The man, this brother said to this sister, no, you can't go against the word of God. So the sister asked, what's the word of God? It says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you have them and you shall have them. So when I was praying, I desired you. I believed in my heart. I spoke the word of faith. So you can't go against the will of God because I've just told you what God says. The sister, you know, good sense of humor. God bless her. She's married now with her husband, happily married. Their brother too is happily married to somebody else. So you know the end of the story. Nothing came out of it. But the sister, with every good humor, said, okay, brother, the Bible says, what things soever you desire when you pray. He says, sorry, I am not a thing. So I'm not part of your one thing, whatever thing. He said, I am a wife material. I am not a thing. And if you are trying to also quote that the Bible says, whoso finds a wife finds a good thing. No, you find the wife. It's the wife that is the good thing, not the thing that is the good wife. So sorry, brother, no show for you. So bang, you know, we used to call it nails. He nailed the brother, good 6-inch nail. And that affected the brother's faith. Excuse me, let your expectation be what God said, what God promised. That's the bottom line, okay? So please hope in God. Don't stop hoping. Make sure your hope is in God and in what God says. All right, the world seems to be against me. Anytime I think I'm getting up, something brings me down. I'm so discouraged. In the name of Jesus, let me first of all pray for that person. The word of God you heard tonight is a word of comfort to encourage you. I pray, let your courage return. Be encouraged through the words you've heard tonight in the name of Jesus. And I also pray, as I'm led by the Spirit of God, whatever seems to be the root of your discouragement, God didn't plant it. And I go and I speak the word of God to you. What it is written, whatever my heavenly Father has not planted shall be uprooted. Every seed of discouragement planted in your heart, whether through words, whether through events that have happened, taken place when you were young, as you were growing up, things that were said to you, things that made it look like you were a rejected child, I'm hearing this by the Spirit of God. I come against that spirit of rejection. I uproot that seed of rejection planted in you. Listen, child of God, God loves you. You are accepted in the beloved. You are loved unconditionally. Even if the world hates you, God loves you. Even if the world rejects you, God accepts you. Even if circumstances around you are saying anything contrary, listen. You will rise, you will shine because your light has come. By reason of the word of God you've had tonight, the light in the word of God, which is life, gives life to every fiber in you, in your being, your spirit, your soul, your body. Be encouraged in the name of Jesus. Listen, stop looking down at yourself. Stop looking around you at things happening around you. Listen, start looking up to God. Let me repeat. Stop looking down at yourself. Stop looking around you at things happening around you. Start looking up to God. The God you lift up your eyes to see will lift you up in the name of Jesus. Whoever sent that, please, I would like you to get in touch with us personally. I will love to have a one-to-one with you. The details of how you can contact us, if you send us an email or send us a text, will be shared. Let me see. Okay, I will leave that to the media team. Please just note the numbers. Check the comment section. It might be there. And please, if the media team can also put it on the Slido, as a reply to the person who asked that question about being discouraged, okay? I would like to have a one-to-one with you. I offer my time to you. I offer this. I just sense to talk to you personally. Please don't be shy, and just trust us to encourage you. Okay, all right. So how do I stop my child from comparing herself with others? Good question. Good question. Now, let me tell us something about children, our children. And if it's a child, beautiful, because it's a child we can train up in the way they should grow. So there might be something fundamentally wrong before, maybe unconsciously. As a parent, you are the one comparing the child to maybe other siblings or to other people, and that seed is what the child is manifesting. But if that's not even the case, one thing you have to do now, parentally, you have the authority to speak into the life of that child. Start telling the child what the child can do. Start telling the child what the child can become. Start telling that child they are unique. They are one of a kind. There is no one exactly like them. Tell them they are an original. You know, one of the things I tell people, if you have an original 20-pound note and you have a counterfeit, a photocopy or a Photoshop 20-pound note, and they ask you to choose which one, I bet you will go for the original, because nobody wants a counterfeit. Nobody wants a Photoshop. Nobody wants a photocopy. Tell that child there is none exactly like her. If she tries to be somebody else, that makes her a counterfeit. I don't know why I'm using her. You didn't even say the sex of the child. So either male or female. Male and female, God created them. And bless them. Tell the child is blessed. That if you try to be somebody else, that makes you a counterfeit. If you try to be somebody else, if you try to be like your mates, that makes you a photoshopped copy. You're not real anymore. So please drum that into the child. And start looking at the child's uniqueness. What the child can do. Encourage them. You see, I'm a teacher. I go to schools and I meet with children, young adults. And I remember trying to encourage a certain student. And everyone was given a task. And the task was more or less, create something, draw this. And everybody started drawing. And he said, no, I'm rubbish. Look at what everybody else is doing. I can do it. You know, everybody else is good and all that. And I had to sit down. And I just found out, low self-esteem, no self-belief, lack of confidence. And I told this young girl, listen, do you know what you're doing? What you've just drawn, nobody else can draw it. I said, that's what makes you an original. That's what makes your drawing original. If you try to do what everybody else is doing that you think is better than yours, because this task is actually a task to reveal your uniqueness. So don't try to do what everybody's doing. You draw what you believe. And that gave her a little bit of confidence. I wish I had more time with her, because it was just a school I went to consult. But that's the sort of things we encounter. Constantly, that child needs to be told they are an original. And whatever they do is unique. And as a parent, never compare your child to somebody else's children. Okay? Right, please, the person who sent the question about being discouraged, please send that text. It comes straight to me. Send that email. It comes straight to me. And then we'll arrange. We'll see one-on-one through a confidential platform, maybe a Zoom one-on-one. Right, any other questions? Okay, I think we've covered everything, you know.